Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Emma Rose Callaghan with the main evening news. Coming up in this bulletin, three Sinn Féin members, including a senator, have resigned over COVID-19 grant payments in Northern Ireland. It's too early to say what kind of Christmas there can be this year, according to Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who says the most important focus now is making sure Level 5 is successful. There are fears oxygen at Alt na Galvin Hospital may have to be rationed. It comes as hospitals in Northern Ireland are operating at above capacity due to the number of patients with COVID-19. And Kenny Harkin will be here with all the latest in sport at about 5:15. We'll also be joined by Chris Ashmore for farming news and views. But first in news, three Sinn Féin members, including a senator, have resigned over COVID-19 grant payments in Northern Ireland. Three party accounts receive payments of £10,000 under the business grant scheme in the north, and politicians are not entitled access to the scheme. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
A total of £30,000 was paid into three Sinn Féin party accounts in Northern Ireland in March under the small business grant scheme in Northern Ireland. While Sinn Féin didn't seek the payments, no political offices should have got them, and the payments were made in error after being made on rates from 2019. However, the Sinn Féin members in charge of those three accounts, including Senator Alicia McCallion, failed to return the money. It was only paid back this week. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald says this was unacceptable and has accepted the resignation of those involved. They were the chair of the Upper Ban constituency organisation and an official in West Tyrone, as well as Senator McCallion. McCallion has also resigned her Shannon seat, which means a by-election will be triggered. It's the second Shannon by-election due, with Michael Darcy's vacant seat also to be filled.
It's too early to say what kind of Christmas this can be this year. That's a warning from Taoiseach Micheál Martin, who says the most important focus now is making sure Level 5 is successful. He refused to be drawn on individual scenarios of people booking flights home to Ireland for the holidays. Micheál Martin says at the moment no decision has been made on what the rules in December will be.
At this stage, it's far too early to say what type of Christmas we will be experiencing. I did say when I spoke at the time of going to Level 5 that we wanted a meaningful Christmas for people. International travel is down in any case. I think there's natural human caution applying given the growth in Europe and indeed in the UK of the virus and the incidence of the virus.
There are fears oxygen at Alt na Galvin Hospital may have to be rationed. It comes as hospitals in Northern Ireland were operating at above capacity due to the number of patients with COVID-19. Ben Finnegan reports.
Alt na Galvin Hospital in Derry is using between 800 and 900 litres of oxygen every minute, which is three times higher than the normal level. A member of the board which manages the hospital has told the BBC that there is not enough oxygen to treat patients. A green, amber and red alert system is in place to monitor oxygen levels, and over the past week it has been moving towards red. The North's chief nursing officer has said the supply of oxygen to hospitals in Northern Ireland is monitored daily and mitigation measures are in place if the high level of demand continues.
A Donegal deputy is demanding answers from the Marine Minister over ongoing concerns with fishing rights off the coast of Donegal and elsewhere. It follows claims that a Japanese tuna fishing boat and other vessels travelled for 2 months to fish for bluefin tuna in the North Atlantic on the edge of the Irish fishing zone. Irish trawlers under law must catch and release bluefin tuna for scientific purposes. It's thought that the valuable fish could be worth millions each year to the Irish fishing industry. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the current system is completely unjust to local communities.
Either there is conservation recognised internationally or there isn't. And the question mark from Irish fishers is that they are catching and releasing what could make huge, and I mean huge, wealth, particularly if you look at inshore fishing communities, island fishing communities. This could be a source of huge wealth, but we're complying with international requests while other countries and vessels clearly are not. And it's not sustainable to have that completely on level playing pitch.
And I'm sure from your point of view, with Brexit on the horizon and the increasing threat of a no deal and fishing rights being one of the main talking points within those negotiations, this being resolved in terms of blue tuna fish could counteract whatever may be from that deal.
I think that if you look at the Brexit negotiations, no sector of our economy, no group of people is more threatened than our fishing communities. But I think this latest debacle with the bluefin tuna shows that we feel in Ireland that we have not got the wealth out of our waters that we should have got. We have not created the jobs and opportunities in coastal communities that we should have had. And Brexit reminds us of that again. And we just need to change focus in Ireland. We are an island nation. We need to create wealth for our fishing communities, not harass them and harangue them and kill them as a sector, as an industry, as we have done for too many years.
School secretaries and caretakers on low pay with no job security are to have their conditions of employment improved. A new preliminary agreement reached by the Workplace Relations Commission will see more than 1,000 school secretaries and caretakers receive better working conditions if an agreement is reached between all sides. The dispute centres on a two-tier pay system, however, there is now an open dialogue between all parties. Local spokesperson and school secretary Kathleen O'Doherty says it's important that the process now moves quickly.
We know it's going to take a bit of time to get everything into place, but what will happen? An end date is in sight. It's important that everything is worked out. School secretaries and caretakers will at last be recognised for the role and the work that they do as public servants, which we have been doing for far too many years. And it's just positive for us, Catherine.
Obviously, a lot of things have to be worked through and that sort of thing, but this is definitely a major step in the right direction.
This is more than major. This is that we will be on a pay scale, that we will have pay and conditions. We will have what other public servants that work in the school, for example, equivalent to the ETB schools, the same clerical setup as ourselves. Again, because of the school secretaries around the country and indeed caretakers, different size of school, different numbers in the school requires a different level of work that is needed. So everything has to be worked out regardless of how many days or works, whatever. It's such a mix-up of situations in every school. It's just going to take time. We know that. So we're hoping that by February 21, that things will be well in place because, we just want to go forward with this. We don't want it hanging about. We don't want it said, okay, you have got that far now and let us sit on the fence.
The Road Safety Authority says people who apply for a driving test now will have to wait about 6 months to be examined. It's due to backlogs caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, with test centres currently operating at reduced capacity. According to Freedom of Information figures, there are currently 1,330 people in Donegal on waiting lists, with 697 people waiting in the Letterkenny Test Centre, 398 in Donegal and 235 in Buncrana. Road safety campaigner Alec Lee says learner drivers shouldn't take the risks while waiting for a test.
You wouldn't hand someone a gun without giving them instructions. The car is a two-ton of lethal weapon, and learner drivers, they don't realise it's just a small piece of rubber in the brakes stopping them. They don't appreciate when you lose control of that car, it's just gone, and if it meets a human being, two-ton is going to be doing awful damage to that human being.
The planned Inishowen Innovation Hub has been brought to life in a new video showcasing what it will look like. The former town council office in Buncrana is to be transformed into a state-of-the-art building, which is set to be a start-up location or base for local entrepreneurs, remote workers, visitors or existing companies. It's expected that the hub will in turn create new tech businesses and jobs locally. Local councillor Jack Murray has described the project as a real game changer for the entire peninsula.
Yeah, this is a very, very exciting time, and this can be a real game changer for the economy in Inishowen. what it is known to as far as the Innishowen Digital Hub has now been branded as the AI Innishowen Innovation Hub. And there's a new video which will take people through this huge, huge project. For people that aren't aware of this, this is going to be a real job creation driver. It's an absolutely fantastic idea. I'm delighted to see it progressing now so quickly.
And we have seen such huge success in the same regard in terms of the collab in Letterkenny. I'm sure you would be hoping for similar success, if not even bigger success, for this one in Innishowen.
Yeah, anybody who's been in the collab will realise that it's a fantastic facility. Indeed, there'll be a lot of people, Innishowen people would even be travelling from Innishowen to Letterkenny to avail of that. We're going to have that now in our doorstep in Innishowen's largest town. So we'll be hoping that this will be a huge, huge economic boost, not just to the town of Buncrana where it'll be based, but the whole way from Malin Head, the whole way to the very south of Innishowen and even further afield. It's a very, very exciting concept, and I would ask anybody to take a look, see if you could like to avail of the services there. Hopefully we'll have maybe some of our immigrants who've left our shores will come back, and indeed those who now be going doing their leaving cert or finishing college will have somewhere to base themselves in Innishowen, and hopefully we'll stem the flow of emigration that had hurt us for so long.
A new survey has revealed that 81% of Donegal and Derry businesses are not planning on hiring new staff in the next year. The joint survey of over 130 Northwest businesses between the Letterkenny and Derry Chamber of Commerce revealed serious challenges for companies in the region over key issues like COVID-19 and Brexit. A further 58% of companies have said they foresee making cuts this year to protect their business and already badly hit revenue streams. Letterkenny Chamber CEO Tony Foster explains.
I don't think it was any surprise that 81% of Donegal and Derry businesses are not planning on hiring staff in the next year. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. But it's when you actually see it in reality, we have to think about what's going to happen in the next 6 months, 12 months. And it's going to be a tough time for the whole region.
And what can be done from governments on both sides of the border to help businesses who are struggling?
Well, I know that our supports here in the south of Ireland have been taken up by our businesses that have been closed, and I think that's been very welcome. And they've been good supports as far as they can go. We would prefer to see a cooperation, I suppose, with both governments, so there's a bit of a level playing field with both sides of the border, both in terms of supports, but also in terms of tackling the pandemic that we have.
And has Brexit been overlooked because of the pandemic?
We think, from what we can see, we know respondents, 72% of respondents are saying it's going to be damaging to them. But our other worry was that a lot of businesses have said that they are unprepared or unsure of what to do. And that is a bit of a concern. Now, this year, I suppose most of our communication was going to be about Brexit. So we just have to keep on that messaging and hope that businesses will get on, get whatever they need to do.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Support local and get everything you need this Christmas at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And we cross over to sport now with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Emma Rose. We'll start with soccer, and Dundalk's hectic schedule continues tonight with one of the biggest games in the club's history. They're at the Emirates to face Arsenal in Group B of the Europa League. Interim head coach Filippo Gianvangoli, he knows his side are underdogs but feels Dundalk can outmatch Arsenal for passion.
It's quite obvious that there is like a heavyweight boxer against a super lightweight, right? So we will just need to try to make them run uncomfortable a little bit. Let's make the passion something maybe bigger in our side.
Kickoff there tonight's at 8:00, and at the same time in that group, Molde, they host Rapid Vienna. And elsewhere tonight, under pressure, Neil Lennon, he takes a Celtic side to Lille from 5:55. Tottenham, they're away to Antwerp, while Leicester, they're in Athens to play AEK. And at 8:00, Rangers, they entertain Lech Poznan, and that one's at Ibrox. Well, Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan has good reason to be pleased following a side's 3-2 victory over St Patrick's Athletic last night. Harps are now just 2 points adrift of Shelburne, Derry City and St Pat's, and could yet avoid the relegation playoff spot. But Ollie Horgan wasn't happy with the match officials against St Pat's and is concerned that a number of bookings could lead to suspensions for the final two games.
There's mixed feelings in there. Great result. We've beaten a serious, serious side here tonight, without doubt. I don't know where we found them. The second half, I was back to the wall, so if they found it, it wasn't anything to do with me or Paul to get us over the line there tonight in the second half. They found that little bit of energy and legs that maybe, you know, we haven't had in a while. But that happens with confidence, and probably the win in Daly Mount gave us that. But, you know, this will go to the wire, Dermot, and it very probably will go to a one-off playoff game, and that we need bodies, people on the pitch that are available for us, not sitting in the stand.
Wally Horgan speaking to Dermot Doherty after last night's match. Their next game now is home to the champion Shamrock Rovers. That one's on Sunday evening at 7:45. Well, Ulster Championship's getting closer. It begins this weekend. Owen Ban-Gallagher, he returns to Championship football for Donegal on Sunday in the provincial quarter-final battle with Tyrone at McCool Park. The Killybegs man was part of the side that made it back-to-back Anglo-Celt Cups, but he would go on to miss the All-Ireland Series and the rest of 2019 with an ankle injury. Well, due to COVID's effect this year, it's an old-school straight knockout football. Gallagher knows they have to make the most of Sunday, and Owen added that everyone has to step up to the championship if they're to progress.
I read a few books over the period there of lockdown, which is something I wouldn't normally do, but I had a bit of extra time, so I decided to get into a few books. And a lot of the best teams seem to be talking about the collective responsibility. If you look at Liverpool, you know, New Zealand rugby team, they talk about the collective responsibility. Even the Leinster rugby team, you know, they hadn't lost a game there for a number of years, and they talk about the collective responsibility. I think it's everybody's job now within the team. We can't just continue to look towards Michael, you know, Neil McGee, Ryan McHugh, Paddy McBurdy to continue to lead us. It's up to everybody within the squad to drive it. And I think that there's something that all the best teams seem to do. So it's something we have to strive towards doing and, you know, share the responsibility throughout the pitch instead of just having a focus on one or two players, you know.
Owen Ban-Gallagher there. You can join the Highland team for full live match commentary and the big match build-up from 1:15 on Sunday at McCool Park. There's on-air and online at highlandradio.com. The match gets underway at 1:30. Well, Derry, they'll look for a first Ulster Championship win since 2015 on Sunday when they welcome Armagh Celtic Park for the provincial quarter-final. That one gets underway at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Chrissy McCaig says this year's championship has a different dynamic about it.
It almost feels, to a certain extent, this way, that no matter what happens in this year's championship or no matter what happens, there's maybe going to be an asterisk over, and that's a bit unfair to whatever teams achieve success, but it certainly is a very, very different looking championship. To be playing championship football this time of year in itself, a totally different dynamic, and then you look at the condensed time frames and you're back to straight knockout also. So it is very, very difficult. But again, if you're a top 3, 4, 5 team in the country, you're obviously going to want to get it played because you're going to feel that you have a real chance of silverware. For Derry, it's about trying to get a one in the championship and beating a team that's got promoted to Division 1. So I suppose our barometer of success is very, very different to what a Tyrone or a Donegal or a Mayo or a Galway might be, you know. So we're probably realistic of what we want to achieve out of this year. And obviously Armagh is going to be our yardstick on Sunday.
Chrissy McCaig there, Derry against Armagh. It's underway at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Moving on to rugby, and Connacht's meeting with Benetton on the Pro 14 has been called off. It's after a number of positive COVID-19 cases cropped up at the Italian side. The teams are due to meet at the sports ground on Monday. Elsewhere, Gael Ficu moves to the wing in place of the injured Teddy Tomah for France's Six Nations showdown with Ireland. Montpellier's Arthur Vincent comes into the side at inside centre. A bonus point win for Ireland in Paris will seal the title. And Wales, they'll pay tribute to legendary winger JJ Williams at their final Rugby Union Six Nations game with Scotland on Saturday. He's died at the age of 72. Williams won the Five Nations title 4 times and toured twice with the British and Irish Lions. In golf in the PGA Tour, Padraig Harrington's just 3 shots off the lead. That's on the opening day of the Bermuda Championship. He shot a 4-under par round of 67 today. Peter Malnati, he leads the way. He's on 8-under par. He shot a 63. Seamus Power's currently on the course. He's 1-over after 8 holes. And in the European Tour, Jonathan Caldwell and Cormac Shervin, they're both 5 off the lead after the opening round of the Cyprus Open. Both men shot 2-under par rounds of 69. The lead on 7-under par is held jointly by Mitch Waite and Johannes Veerman. And in cycling, joy turned to despair for Sam Bennett after today's ninth stage of the Vuelta a España. The Kerrigan Sur rider thought he'd claimed the stage one, only to be later disqualified for barging into a competitor. The stage instead was handed to Pascal Ackermann. Richard Carapaz retains the overall race leader's red jersey, with Dan Martin staying 28 seconds behind in third. And just a quick mention that the score is on this evening after the news at 7 o'clock. On this week's show, Dermot Doherty looks ahead to a huge weekend of Gaelic Games Championship action with Declan Boner and Martin McHugh. They'll be looking at Donegal against Tyrone and Derry against Armagh. Mickey McCann talks about the Donegal hurlers against Armagh. Maxi Curran gives his thoughts ahead of Donegal's All-Ireland Ladies opener against Dublin. And they'll also be looking at, Dermot will also be looking at League of Ireland soccer, focused on Finn Harps and Derry City. That all as the score gets underway after the 7 o'clock news. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Emma Rose.
Thanks, Kenny. And we cross over to Chris Ashmore now for farming news and views.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing from Hannah Quinn Mulligan of the Irish Farmers Journal about the Level 5 lockdown measures and their impact on the marts. But first, I've been speaking to Brendan McLaughlin, chairman of the Donegal County Executive of the Irish Farmers Association. And I began by asking him for his reaction to news this week that there has been an increase in bovine TB cases in the county.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, all your listeners. We have 42 restricted hares, I think, at the moment here in Donegal. And we're very, very good, by the way, compared to other counties. I think Cavan and Monaghan are the worst counties for TB at the moment. And hopefully, touch wood, nothing happens. We had outbreaks here and there in the county now, but on the east Donegal. But I think everyone has to kick in here and watch their protocol.
There's been a lot of talk this week, Brendan, about the ongoing issues with marts and the movement online associated with the Level 5 restrictions. A lot of frustration out there.
A lot of frustration with farmers. I had about 150 phone calls on Saturday past to see what IFA could do in this situation. On IFA's position here in the county, we want 20 or 30 men round the ring to buy their cattle, because online, as you know, on Saturday, everything crashed because every buyer and every seller was online and the system couldn't take it. But we brought this strongly to the minister and the department, but apparently it was nephew and they just turned it down, we think, anyway. But we're keeping on it to see if we can get this change. It's a very important time of the year with farmers selling the cattle, especially the weanlings. I think we should be trying to go back to the round-the-ring situation. A lot of farmers are not up to date with online.
Also, this week, we've seen a real turn in the weather. Certainly some concern about the heavy rainfalls of late.
Oh, the rainfall is unreal here out there. Farmers have to bring their livestock off the land. The potato men here, with one-third of the crop dug, they're in serious difficult. I think a lot of the winter barley is sown here too, but no, the weather has a devastating effect to farmers. And, you know, we're one of the counties that gets the most rain, and yet we have a problem here on Donegal here with ANC. Touch wood, I hope the weather clears up now before the end of October, going into November.
And finally, Brendan, you've had online county executive meetings using Zoom. You had an officers' meeting this week. What's the situation in relation to branch AGMs for the IFA?
Branch AGMs are all put off now for a further notice. It's not a good thing to be holding branch meetings when the COVID, because a lot of people out there, some of them are older, some are young, and people don't want to come out. We can go on, continue on the way we are in the branches, and we have our chairman and our secretary and all that. That all can stay. Some of the officers' time are up, and we've that to change. But that will be done through postal ballot papers and whatnot. So IFA are working very hard on all issues for all the farmers, and we're online, and we can be contacted at our full office. And most of the staff now are working from home. And if anyone needs any help, we're there to help them through this.
And that was Brendan McLaughlin, the chairman of the Donegal County Executive of the IFA. The Irish Farmers Journal has reported this week that Level 5 restrictions have resulted in a 30% fall in animal throughput at marts during the last week. Well, Hannah Quinn Mulligan is news correspondent with the Farmers Journal, and she joins me to look into this. Hannah, locally, we've certainly seen a lot of reaction to this. Emer McGuinness of the Donegal Town Mart and chairperson of the Mart Managers Association of Ireland has been amongst those to vent her frustration. And you've certainly heard similar stories all around the country.
That's right. And we're getting the same story up and down the country. And there is a lot of frustration there. So while the figures show that over the last week there was a 30% drop in trade, I suppose it's heartening to see in another way that, you know, the price of cattle has still remained the same. But I guess what we're seeing here is it's places that have poor broadband, and a lot of rural areas don't have great broadband, and that's an issue for the farmers who are trying to log on, and it's also an issue for the marts who are trying to get sales up and running. And then the other issue as well is that we don't need to beat around the bush when we say the age of farmers is usually approaching their 60s. So there's a technical challenge there as well. And what everyone seems to be calling for across the board is a blended approach. So it's not a free-for-all. It's a case where, similar to before, you book your time in and you have to sign in when you go into Mars, and it's all very restricted, but that there will be physical buyers in the ring as well as people online as well.
And fair to say, most people would have been of the opinion that the procedures in place at the marts for lower levels of restrictions were working perfectly well.
In a lot of marts, and people were saying, were coming away going, oh God, so-and-so, that mart manager is being very strict. But they were perfectly right, because we did see kind of in the early days of the pandemic, that I think there were two marts who had their licenses temporarily suspended for breaching COVID-19 guidelines. So it was taken seriously by the department, as it was rightly to be, and it was taken seriously in a lot of marts as well, because they knew of the repercussions if they didn't. So there's no... Lots of people are saying, and I guess independent TD Michael Fitzmaurice and the ISA have made submissions to the government pointing out how a blended approach could be done.
As you've touched on there, obviously quite a few politicians are getting representations, they're making representations. So the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConlogue, coming under some degree of pressure. Do you think we will see some changes to what's going on?
So what our sources say is that the department is standing very firm on this. Now, we understand as well that Minister McConlogue has been in touch with various marts, and he has been in touch with ICOS, the mart representative body as well, but he does seem to be standing firm, and that'll disappoint a lot of farmers who will be coming under some pressure as well, because you have to take into account the time of year. You know, this is the time of year when one side of kind of beef farmers or maybe suckler farmers are trying to sell their weanlings, and then the other side, the people who are finishing cattle, they're buying them in for the winter period as well. So any disruption to trade at this point has a negative impact perhaps on the long-term income of people, and that's what ICOS would have been saying. So that's quite serious, and it's especially serious in light of the disruption that we saw last weekend when up to 30,000 people had logged onto a system and there was online only buying, and for a two-hour period people couldn't buy or people couldn't sell. You had animals standing around the ring, some animals were taken home, and then on top of that you had four sales that were cancelled altogether.
We hear a lot about having to live with COVID-19, and there are going to be changes when we come out of this pandemic. And I suppose one thing that people will be asking is, you know, the future of marts. We won't go back exactly to where we are. There is going to be more online sales, and that had already started. In many ways, this is just going to accelerate things.
You know, online buying is here to stay. I guess it's just that blended approach. You know, I've heard various stories, and one that kind of stands out to me is that a farmer was selling cattle and they were, you know, socially distanced from the auctioneer, but I think they got their weanling up to 12.30 or something like that, a very good price. But the auctioneer turned and said, look, it's an online bid. I can't ask this person to go to, you know, to finish it up at 12.50. And it might only be €20 in the difference, but, you know, that might be someone's luck penny that you give to them, or that might be, you know, part of the haulage fee that you've got to bring your cattle to the mart. So, you know, that physical touch is missing. And something that occurs to me as well is that I'm very aware that we have kind of older family friends who come to me and ask to advertise their cattle online. They're not au fait with the internet. And I'm just very concerned about kind of that older demographic who would have gone to the mart for their social scene or to buy some cattle, and they might be left vulnerable now. It's a horrible thought, but, you know, if someone's buying their cattle for them online or something like that, that there could be some sort of, shenanigans or skullduggery that goes on. So I'm very wary of that.
And finally, the Irish Farmers Journal this week has a 96-page magazine, 2020 Vision, What Does the Future Hold for Farmers? Some people are gazing into the crystal ball. Some very interesting topics here. We have things that you would expect, like how the climate will influence farming, and some things that maybe on a slightly lighter note, including the tractor of 2030. There'll be big changes in technology as well.
I don't know about you, but if I could find a tractor that would top field without me having to be in it, I would be delighted. I would pick up that tractor in a heartbeat. But you're right. So 96 pages. So if you needed some nighttime reading over the winter period as the days close in, this is a supplement to get. And there is an awful lot in there. So the minister talks about climate change and how that's going to affect farming. And also we have a really interesting overview. Actually, it stood out to me on the CAP and what happened in the past and how that's likely to influence the future of negotiations, because we know it's a very big couple of months coming up for CAP and how payments are going to be made to farmers.
And that was Hannah Quinn Mulligan, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
And finally in weather, persistent rain this evening and into the night. It will be gradually breaking up and it will become mostly dry by morning. Mild to start but turning cooler overnight with lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. That's all from Highland Radio News and Sport for now. You can listen back to a podcast of the main evening news on highlandradio.com. Headlines again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Thursday evening, October 29th. The death has taken place of Tina Brogan, 16, Meadowbank, Letterkenny. Funeral leaving her parents Michael and Mary Brogan's home at 55 Dr. McGinley Road, Glencar, on Saturday at 10:30. Going to St. Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to St. Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. In compliance with current government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of baby Theo Robinson, 29, Ardmullen Convoy, son of Donna Robinson and Jamie Houston, reposing at the residence of his grandparents, Willie and Isabel Leckie, Finadirk Convoy. Interment on Saturday at 2:30 in Convoy Presbyterian Church in the family plot after private service. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Tom Hamilton Shakespeare, 14 Linen Green, Sion Mills, and formerly of 45 Tullymone Road, Erne. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday at 11:30 for service of Thanksgiving in Christchurch, Erne at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Erne Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Director Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and mass will be private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Evelyn Rahu, née McDevitt, 14 Derry Road, Strabane. Removal from Quigley's funeral home tomorrow at 5:30, going to the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Dr. Finnegan and his team in the Haematology Department at Belfast City Hospital, care of Quigley Funeral Director, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, churchservices.tv/Lickpatrick. The death has taken place of Hugh McDermott, Mahara Beg, Burnfoot. Hugh's Requiem Mass will take place tomorrow at 11 a.m. in St. Mura's Church, Fawn, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill and select the mobile option. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and Requiem Mass are strictly for family only. The death has taken place of Cis Curran, Glentiddley, Milford. Remains will repose at her home. Funeral service tomorrow at 2 p.m. in Remelton Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The funeral service can be viewed via Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to Cancer Research Ireland, care of any family member or Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Phyllis Boyle, née MacDade, Bunbeg, Gweedore. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derrybeg, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. And the death has taken place of John Doherty, 39, Mount Sion, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Cancer Research, care of Quigley Funeral Director, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com.